the beginning of Advent, which is a season of focused on spiritual disciplines and preparation. These 4 weeks that we have in front of us are to prepare us to celebrate the coming of our Messiah. And one spiritual discipline that I think we all can work on is waiting. Now, we'll look at this topic through the lens of Matthew chapter 24 today. This chapter invites us to consider how we can live best in the present in light of what will happen in the future. And what this scripture passage promotes is the need for persistent watchfulness. Now, Jesus calls on us to be ready and to stay awake. Those are his words. So let's listen now to his words from that we find in Matthew chapter 24. I'll read verses 36 through 44. And if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open to that passage. Again, it is Matthew chapter 24, verses 36 through 44. Let's listen now to these words of Scripture. But about that day and hour, no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark. And they knew nothing until the flood came and swept them all away. So too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field. One will be taken and one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together. One will be taken, and one will be left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this. If the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. This scripture passage makes me think of that bumper sticker that says, Jesus is coming, hurry up, and look busy. Now, I think that's kind of funny, but I'm pretty sure Jesus can tell if we're faking it. You can't pull one over on the Son of God. Plus, Jesus really isn't interested in making us into busybodies. He doesn't need that. And yet, I think we are. Think about it. We live in a society that values busyness. It values productivity. It values getting things done. And I think it's easy for us to fall into the trap of measuring our faithfulness by what gets checked off on our to-do list. Now, when we accomplish lots of things, we generally feel pretty good about ourselves. I know I do. And I'm a list maker, as are lots of people, especially during this time of year, because we have so much that we need to keep up with. Personally, I keep my to-do list on my desk. And there's nothing more gratifying than checking things off once I've completed them. But today I want to talk to you about how there's value in just being still, and waiting, and remaining watchful. Now, busyness wants us to fill every moment of life with activity. It wants us to be on the go, to do things, to get things done. But Advent teaches us to wait, to be watchful. See, Advent is about the coming of Christ. Now, the scripture passages that we often read during this season of Advent focus our minds on both the birth of Jesus, that is, his first coming, as well as his return, his second coming. And we hold these together by praying that Christ will come to us, that Christ will be born anew in our hearts. But we can't rush the coming of Christ through any particular action. Now, I have to say that the return of Christ has always excited us Christians. But exactly when this will happen has always been a mystery to us. In fact, Jesus didn't know when he would return. He explicitly said in verse 36 that the Son does not know the day or the hour, which is why he tells us to be watchful and to prepare ourselves. Being ready for his return, I don't think would be any problem if we knew exactly when he was coming back. But God doesn't work that way. The Lord has revealed just enough about the future to give us hope, but not so much that we don't have to live and walk by faith day by day. Now, Jesus' return is often connected to the end times, and some people just love talking about this, and they're fascinated with those scripture passages that speak to it, like certain passages from the Gospels and the books of Daniel, 1 Thessalonians, and Revelation. These scripture passages tend to be highly mysterious and cryptic with their messages, but that hasn't stopped people from predicting when or how Jesus will return. In fact, there are lots of different and complicated theologies like postmillennialism and dispensational premillennialism that are the result of how people have interpreted these scripture passages. I think if you go to any Christian bookstore, you'll also find many books that claim to know when Jesus is coming back. Now, reading about these things can be fascinating, but let's listen again to the words of Jesus. He says in verse 36, "And about that day and hour, no one knows." So what is it about those words that we just don't understand? He says, no one knows. So how can anyone presume to know what the Lord himself has professed to not know? We just don't know when Christ will return. But we are called to wait. Jesus calls us to be watchful. And being watchful means that we're called to live in a state of readiness. And the Apostle Paul shared a similar message to the Thessalonians. He wrote in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, "Therefore let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober." Let's remember that there's nothing that we can do to rush or speed up Jesus' return. We don't know when it's going to happen. But we are called to wait and to be watchful. But let's not confuse this with idleness or with wasting our time. I think we do enough of that as it is. And to me, it feels like a lot of our time gets wasted. Time where we're not doing anything. Time when we're just waiting. Just think about all the waiting that we do. We wait at the doctor's office. We wait for a table at a restaurant. When we jump on a Zoom call, we're often thrown into a waiting room. I don't know about you, but I don't like waiting. It does feel like a waste of time. Because oftentimes we're just sitting there with nothing to do. We're bored out of our minds. And that certainly makes us feel like we are wasting our time. And I think we really feel like we're wasting our time when we're required to do pointless activities. Now, my kids talk about busy work that their teachers sometimes give them. And you can probably think of times when your boss has given you work that seems really trivial, and you're left thinking, why am I wasting my time doing this? You know, we don't want to waste our time because it's valuable, it's precious. Now, when Jesus calls us to be watchful and to wait, he's not asking us to waste our time. The kind of waiting that he calls us to is not sitting around doing nothing. Today's scripture passage suggests that in this waiting, we are carrying on with life. We are raising our families, we're working at our jobs, we're going to school, we're volunteering, we're trying to be good neighbors. See, whatever it is that we do with our time, we should live with an awareness and an anticipation for the return of Christ, for the coming of our Lord. And it is good news. news that Christ is coming. Of course, we already know that we've been reconciled to God through Jesus Christ on the cross. That's what happened when Jesus was crucified. And it's because of this that we can wait with faithful and hopeful hearts. But here's a mistake we sometimes make. We get really excited thinking about the second coming. We get excited knowing that a day is coming when God will set all things right. And we also know that there's nothing that we can do that will speed up Jesus' return. But that may lead us to think that our actions in this world really don't matter. And yet they do matter. See, we can't pretend that what we do has no impact on the world and God's hopes for it and God's hopes for us. What we do in this world is significant. Now, I'm not suggesting that what we do is in somehow helping us earn our salvation, but our actions do count for something, which is a point that Jesus made through his teaching and his parables. And often when he finished telling a story or making a point, he'd say something like, "Go and do likewise." See, what we do matters. And I think what we do must be born from the idea that God so loves us that we can do nothing else but act in this world every day as if that love really matters. Now, this idea gets to the heart of watchful waiting. What we do makes a difference to God. We're not called to idleness, and we're not called to be busybodies. See, the kind of watchful waiting God calls us to lies somewhere in between. But how do we find that space where what we do is a faithful response to God's calling, while we guard against the kind of actions that can easily morph into busy work? Well, I certainly don't believe God is calling us to busy work. We're not called to be busybodies here on earth. We're not just filling up our lives with activity. We're not just filling up our time for the sake of activity. We're not wasting our time until Jesus comes back. So what should our actions look like as we watch and wait for the return of Christ? Well, to answer that question, I think we need to first be clear about what kinds of actions waste our time. I think some of the things that we do, and these are not necessarily bad things, but I think there are things that we do that take our time, our energy, and our passion away from the things that we really need to do. And that's one way we waste our time. And then there are some things that we do that are more sinister, and that they directly work against what God is doing. These are things like lying, stealing, acting greedy, stoking divisions, being racist, not living with love. Doing these sorts of things is not only a waste of time, but it leads us in the opposite direction away from God. Now let's shift our conversation and move in a different direction. Instead of thinking about what wastes our time, let's talk about what makes good use of our time. In other words, what kinds of actions are pleasing to God? In our scripture passage, Jesus tells us to keep awake and to be ready, which I think we do by welcoming the presence of Jesus, by being a servant of God, by acting in the interest of God's kingdom, by being faithful. And Paul gave a similar message to the church in Ephesus. He wanted them to wake up and be watchful. And he wrote this in chapter 5 of Ephesians. He said, "Be careful then how you live, not as unwise people, but as wise." And he told them to make the most of their time, because in his words, the days are evil. For that reason, we're called to redeem the times that we live in, as the King James Version puts it. In other words, we need to be ready. We need to seize the moment to welcome the presence of Christ, to be a servant of God, and to live with watchfulness. You know, people who are watchful, people who live in a state of readiness, are people who look for opportunities to glorify God. And we do this when we live with hope, peace, love, and joy. These are four big themes that we celebrate in Advent. We even light candles each Sunday as a reminder of this. And these candles are a symbol of the good news that Christ is coming to us. It's important that we connect this good news to the way we live in the face of the problems, the crises, and the conflicts that are happening in our own homes, in our community, and across the globe. So the good news that Jesus is coming gives us hope, peace, love, and joy. And this shapes what we do. And when our actions are filled with these things, we are revealing our faith to the world to see. And I do pray that we'll apply this to how we're living. Question for you is, where do we start? Well, to grease the wheel, let me ask you a few questions that might help you imagine some ways that you might live with faithfulness and practice the kind of watchfulness that Jesus preached. And here are some questions just that might spark some ideas. How do you live with hope in the face of the cynicism that seems to overtaken so much of our public discourse in our country? How can you embrace peace without being passive in the face of injustice? How do you embody love as political extremism accelerates racial and cultural divisions? How might you be an ambassador of joy? And remember, all people need joy. Now, we practice watchful waiting by living with hope, peace, love, and joy. It helps us redeem the times that we live in. What we do is, and by itself, not a sign of faithfulness, but what we do is a sign of our faith that Christ is coming. And that's the good news we're called to live out in this world. We're called to share the good news that Christ is coming to us. That Christ is coming to us to share with